Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. The ayah that I recited, inshallah, will be tonight, Tarawih, 11th para. And that particular ayat is glad tidings for all those people who want to be friends with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah inna awliya Allah. Beware, let it be known that the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah ta'ala, la khawfun alayhim, they have no fear. Walahum yahzanun, they will have no grief, no worry that is on the day of Qiyamah. So because they are in the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, we all are friends of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is a friend of all the believers. But this friendship here is of a much higher level, where people are very, very close to Allah. They are the awliya Allah. So all of us would like to be the friends of Allah, the awliya Allah. And when we read the stories of the awliya Allah, when we hear about them, we just get inspired that we should also want to be like them. And we can reach that position there. So, like you mentioned that, taqwa is not a press button, and taqwa is also not something that is seasonal. You know, now it's Ramzan, so we got muttaqin, we pious, or we in umrah, then we put pious, or when we're in a certain environment, then we got taqwa after it, then no taqwa. Taqwa is an ongoing, continuous thing. Like you mentioned, you must not lose taqwa at the blink for a blink of an eye also. So, and taqwa is found in all fields of a person's life. You must remember that also. Like when we get nikah, these ayat, three ayats of the Quran, we read that taqwa is mentioned four times there. Taqwa is mentioned four times. Why? Because now we're going to be staying with a person, there are going to be a lot of rights, obligations, and things we have to take care of. So we have to have taqwa. Every taqwa that is mentioned in every ayat there has got certain relevance to what the marriage is about. It's a different discussion. But taqwa is there. Taqwa is on the battlefield. Taqwa is in our dealings with people at all times. Taqwa is in our businesses also. Taqwa is in our interaction with people, how we deal with people, how we talk to them, how we treat them, what kind of tone we use and so forth. So taqwa is all the time at every moment. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to start his khutbah. He used to say, Usikum wa nafsi awwalan bi taqwa Allah. I advise you and myself first with the taqwa of Allah. Now we have given the definition of taqwa many times already. It simply means the continuous consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wherever we are, whatever we are doing, that is what we are supposed to have. And the people who got taqwa, they get two things. One is they get falah. Falah is the Arabic word which we translate as success. But falah refers to success of the world and the hereafter. And the other one is called fawz. Fawz, it refers to the taqwa in the hereafter, it means to the success in the hereafter. That means a person will get into Jannah without any difficulty. So both these particular benefits are found through having taqwa. So like we say that it is a mention, it is a thing that comes with purification, and purification will not come until there is no taqwa. So a person first have to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he will start purifying himself. And taqwa is acquired. How? So somebody should know, how must we do it now? What do we do to become muttaqin? It's good we're talking about it all these days here. So taqwa is actually, first of all, acquired through constant reflection. Reflection on oneself, which is called muhasabah, or reflection of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, as we spoke about in our previous lessons, also when we speak about the name of Allah. And pondering over our actions, what we are doing, what we are not doing, have I done it correctly, is Allah happy with me? So constant reflection is very important. And then also being vigilant at all times. One is to be thinking about it, and one is vigilant that any moment we can be on the brink. You know that hadith you made mention of also, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, stay away from doubtful things, because if a person comes too close to doubtful things, he can cross over onto haram. So be careful, stay away from anything that is doubtful, because doubtful things also can lead a person away from taqwa. It can take his taqwa away. So be vigilant at all times. Be vigilant of a'mal, of our deeds that we are doing. When we are doing good deed, also be vigilant about it, that I do it properly. When it's a bad deed, also make sure we don't do it, and if we do it, make tawbah immediately. And then to make dua. Dua is very, very important. Every time we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma aati nafsi taqwa, wa la grant my nafs taqwa. Right? وزكاها and purified. وانت خير من زكاها, you're the best one who can purify it. So dua is very, very important. Don't let that moment go. We make a lot of dua for a lot of things, but this particular aspect, which is supposed to be every moment and every brief moment of our life, we are supposed to be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Then another thing is respecting the salient features of the deen. So respecting the salient features of the deen, what is the salient features? Our kalima, our Quran, our masjid, our hajj, all those aspects which are the outstanding aspects of the deen. If we show respect to it, then automatically we are going to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the respect to that is actually consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to be in the company of the salihin, the pious people. So whenever they are pious people, we know about them because sit in their company. Like we say, we must have a sheikh. So you go sit in his company, and then they will continuously purify us, or they will keep us on guard how to make things, you know, right. So they are the reformers, as we can call them. So one very important aspect for a person to gain taqwa is the matter relating to what he is consuming. Halal. Consuming halal is the most important thing, because when a person consumes halal, then it's going to affect his ibadat, it's going to affect his actions, it's going to affect his character, and it's going to then also affect his relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So if a person is not consuming halal, then that haram or whatever is going to be a barrier between him and gaining the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at the lives of the pious people, then we will find that they were very, very conscious about consuming halal. Two, three examples we will quickly give. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu one day drank milk which was given to him by his servant or his slave. When he drank the milk, he felt something is not right about this milk here. So he asked his slave, where you got this milk from? So the slave said, before I became a Muslim, I was a fortune teller. So I had to charge the people. So somebody they didn't pay me, now they paid me the money, so I bought the milk. So I gave you the milk to drink. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu felt so upset that why must he have drank milk from somebody's takings, money that had come in because of fortune telling. He made himself vomit and threw all that milk out again. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he was Amirul Mu'minin, one day somebody brought, you know, utter fragrance for the Baitul Mal, for the public treasury. People donated it. He did not touch it. He told somebody else, you take it and you go put it in the public treasury. If I touch it, might be some fragrance will come onto my hand, and I will then be using public things for myself. I'll be benefiting. Now, where are these people's mind? What taqwa they had? What quality of taqwa? Subhanallah. And lots of other incidents like that. It is mentioned with regard to Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah, whose mazhab most of us follow, Imam Azam, how much of piety and how much of taqwa and consciousness he had with regard to halal. One incident is mentioned that he was in partnership with one person. And his name is Hassan or Mohsin bin Ali. His name was something like that. So Imam Abu Hanifa was in partnership with him. So Imam Abu Hanifa was a cloth merchant. While he was a great Imam, Muhaddith, Alim, everything, but he was a cloth merchant. So there was a whole lot of cloth, bales of cloth that had come in. And he told his partner that when you're selling this cloth, just remember this one bale here has got what we will call second grade, you know, blemish. It's got some fault in it. It's defective. So when you are selling it, then make sure you sell it and you tell the buyer that this is a cloth that is blemished. It's got defect in it. So that person, when the time came to sell it, he sold the whole lot and he forgot to tell the buyer that this one particular bale of cloth here has got defect in it. Imam Abu Hanifa came, asked him, you sold the cloth? He said, yeah. And he said, that one bale I told you about? He says, oh, I forgot to say. So he said, in other words, we sold defective goes to somebody, and that particular person gave us the money. Now where are we going to go look for him? So what we'll do is, all the money, it was 30,000 dirhams or dinars, we mix up with these currencies, you know, it was that time. He gave all of that away in sadaqah. He said, we cannot eat, we cannot take money from, we cannot consume anything from something that was sold on a wrong pretext. So we have to be so very careful with it. And Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, we know his story, he's a great Buzruq, there's a whole chapter on his life story also. So Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, at one occasion, he was living in Balkh, he was a king, he gave up his entire kingdom, and he moved away, and he came to stay in somebody's garden. Not garden, he came to became an employee, and somebody who had a great orchard of what we call pomegranates. So the pomegranates were growing there. So one day the master told him, just get for us some pomegranates. So he plucked pomegranates and he gave it to the masters. When the master cut it, he found they were sour, they were raw. So he told Ibrahim bin Adham, get other ones. These are raw and sour, they're not right. So Ibrahim bin Adham went and brought other ones. And again, the same thing, they were sour, they were raw, they were not right. So the master shouted him, say, you working so many years here in my orchard and you don't even know the difference between a sweet and a sour pomegranate. What is wrong with you? You get the answer. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, says, you have hired me to look after your orchard. You have not hired me to taste what kind of fruit is here. SubhanAllah, what honesty and what amanatdari he had. He said, that's why I did not touch these things here. I didn't know the difference between what is sweet and what is not sweet. Allah give us all tawfiq.